Mendes, now playing in movie theaters.
It's 8 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, turning viewer support into educational, arts, and news programming with a Kansas City PBS membership program. More at kansascitypbs.org.
46 degrees in Lawrence at 6 minutes after six. And you're listening to NPR's All Things Considered here on Kansas Public Radio. KPR is your place for NPR news. We're at 91.5 in Lawrence, 90.3 in Chanute. Online, find us at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Civic Choir, presenting a festival of joy featuring a variety of choral classics Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 p.m. at First United Methodist. More at Lawrence Civic Choir's Facebook page.
I hope you can stick around with us throughout the evening. All Things Considered continues until 7 o'clock. We've got Classics Live coming up at 7, and then at 8 o'clock, Destiny will be along with some great classical music for us. It's Tango Thursday. That's always a lot of fun. And we will feature the very first tango that Destiny ever played on Tango Thursday here on KPR. Astro Piazzolla's masterpiece, Liber Tango, played by the great Yo-Yo Ma. We'll also have Beethoven's Violin Concerto coming up. All that happening on KPR 1. If you're with us on KPR 2, we've got coming up for you at 7 o'clock, Prairie Journal. Don't miss that.
Support for KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore, located at 809 Massachusetts Street, Lawrence, Kansas, offering books, events, store cats, and more since 1987. Information and shopping at ravenbookstore.com.
Overnight lows this evening dropping to about 28 degrees. It's 46 degrees in Lawrence now at 20 minutes after 6.
Support for NPR comes from the station. And from American
industry booster, and now he's the Trump administration's top advisor on tech and crypto policy. In recent weeks, he's defended himself against conflict of interest questions and faced criticism over his drive to undo AI laws. That story tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
NPR's Morning Edition, every weekday morning from 5 to 9 here on Kansas Public Radio, your place for NPR News. Join your local host, Matthew Algio, tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. from 5 to 9. We bring you NPR's Morning Edition here on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Art Guild, with an opportunity to shop for holiday gifts at their annual art fair this Saturday and Sunday at the Cider Gallery. Details at lawrenceartguild.org.
Latest regional headlines ahead in 2.5 minutes. It's 6:30.
30 highways are also closed statewide with no timeline to reopen. For NPR News, I'm Amy Radel in Seattle.
On Wall Street, the Dow gained more than 600 points today. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Tom Parkinson in for Laura Lorson this afternoon. Both Republican Kansas Senators Roger Marshall and Jerry Moran voted along party lines today on bills related to the Affordable Care Act subsidies. Marshall said he's opposed to the extension of tax credits offered by Democrats because he says it would not address fraud.
Regardless of whether we extend these subsidies or not, the cost of health insurance for everybody is going to go up 25% this year. And all the Democrats want to do is just have the federal government pay a bigger share.
Health experts disagree over the scale of fraud actually taking place. Four Republican senators voted with Democrats, including Josh Hawley from Missouri. The Trump administration has proposed a new rule through the Environmental Protection Agency that would deregulate certain Kansas waters. As Kalen Moore reports, some ranchers see it as a win.
The proposal would redefine certain terms in the Clean Water Act and remove wetlands and temporary waters from protection. The move is seen as a step backward for environmentalists who say this leaves Kansas wetlands and some waters vulnerable to pollution. But Aaron Papelka, leader of government affairs for the Kansas Livestock Association, says all this proposal does in practice is determine whether you seek approval from federal or state authorities.
If you look at the Clean Water Act, it purposely left things to the states.
With this new proposal, ranchers would deal with less bureaucracy to manage lagoons and stock water. Papelka says they would still comply with regulations at the state level. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kalen Moore in Liberal.
Kansas City will host reigning champion Argentina for at least one match in next year's World Cup. And one local restaurant owner in Johnson County, Kansas, is thrilled. Hallie Jackson reports.
Nearly everyone in Argentina is a soccer fan, says Claudia Luna West, owner of Buenos Aires restaurant in Shawnee. She was thrilled to hear her team would play here.
I knew Argentina was going to come to Kansas. I don't know why. Don't ask me why, but I had a feeling. And then when it was confirmed, I was just like, yay, I'm so happy. I'm just so excited.
West is trying to get her family tickets to the game, and she's already fielding Quest Visit. Her big dream, though, is that the entire Argentina national team comes to her restaurant for a meal.
Argentina will play Algeria in a first-round game on June 16th. Partly cloudy skies in the forecast for this evening. Overnight lows drop to about 28 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Afternoon highs near 40. It's 6:35.
From NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Tom Parkinson. It's 6:44. Using local data can make science education more meaningful for students. That's what University of Kansas researcher Imogen Herrick has found. Professor Herrick appeared on a recent episode of the KU podcast, When Experts Attacked, where she talked about STEM education with KU News Service's Mike Krings.
You've done some studies where you help teachers use local...
Their bus route, right? Mm-hmm. You know, every Monday or, you know, every Wednesday afternoon, you know. And what they are they, what are you to notice, what do you wonder conversations around a local data visualization with the intent to layer data on their communities over time so they can start to make sense of the complexities there. And we broadly define data. We think photos are data. We think local narratives are data, maps, and also what we would think of as hard data, like a data visualization.
That's Professor Imogen Herrick, Assistant Professor of STEM Education in KU's School of Education and Human Sciences. She spoke with the KU News Service's Mike Krings. You can hear that full interview on the KPR podcast, When Experts Attack.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
About another 11 minutes of All Things Considered at the top of the hour. We'll check in on the latest news, and then we've got just after 7 o'clock, we'll have Classics Live coming up for you. That's always fun. And then at 8 o'clock, it's Tango Thursday with Destiny. She'll treat us to the first tango that she ever played on Tango Thursday here on KPR, Astor Piazzolla's Libertango. That's ahead. Stay with us here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, offering zoo memberships for individuals and families alike for unlimited admission to the zoo year-round. Details on the benefits of a Topeka Zoo membership can be found at topekazoo.org.
Partly cloudy this evening with overnight lows near 28 degrees. It's 45 degrees now.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered.
From Viking, dedicated to creating travel experiences and with programs designed for cultural enrichment on board and on shore. Learn more at viking.com. From Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, which monitors safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
Who exactly is David Sacks? A look at the Trump administration's top advisor on tech and crypto policy on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Be with us for Morning Edition from NPR every weekday morning at 5 a.m. from 5 until 9 here on your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute at 90.3, and you can listen on the web anytime at kansaspublicradio.org. Or, hey, do you have those smart speakers in your home? Well, just ask one of them to play Kansas Public Radio for you.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through research, economic development, and education. Information about KU programs and initiatives is at ku.edu.
We've got an evening of great music coming up for you. Destiny will be along at 8 o'clock with Tango Thursday. That's always a lot of fun. Coming up next, though, a Rule Joyce recital from this past year with some tango etudes from Astor Piazzolla. And we'll also hear the one Irish tune that everybody knows, Danny Boy. Some variations on the Carnival of Venice, and all of it featuring saxophone and piano. Sax player Vince Ganoyak and pianist Ellen Summer. That's coming up next here on KPR. Partly cloudy this evening. Overnight lows dropping at 28. It's 45 degrees now at 7:01.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, saving you a seat here in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts for a very interesting and fun saxophone recital with everything from Danny Boy to some tangos, featuring longtime professor of saxophone at KU, Vince Ganoyak, with his KU colleague of collaborative piano, Ellen Summer. First, Dr. Ganoyak tells us a little bit about the history of the saxophone.
As a boy in early 19th century Belgium, Adolf Sax was hit on the head by a brick. He also swallowed a needle, fell down a flight of stairs, toppled onto a burning stove, and accidentally drank some sulfuric acid. When he grew up, he invented the saxophone. Only a child that familiar with adversity, contend critics of the saxophone, could have foisted such a contraption on an unsuspecting world. In about 1842 is when Adolf Sax invented the saxophone as a hybrid instrument. It's conical in shape, and it's made of brass, but it has pads that cover these tone holes, and it uses a woodwind mouthpiece and a reed to get the sound. So it actually is a woodwind instrument, not a brass instrument. He invented it as a middle voice in the woodwind family, and he intended that it would be played in symphony orchestras as well as concert bands. It never really quite took off in the symphony orchestras. There are saxophone solos now and then, He had wanted it to be that, so he invented a family in the keys of C and F for the orchestra, and another set of family in B flat and E flat for use in bands. And that's the family that we have with us today, is B flat and E flat instruments. The saxophone came over to this country right around the turn of the century. And that was a time when there was a lot going on over here, and particularly the very early start of jazz music. And so saxophone caught on right away because it was much louder than a clarinet or something like that. So a lot of people went, wow, this is cool. And it has been a leading voice in jazz and popular music for many, many years. The saxophone is the newest member of the woodwind family, and it is without question the most versatile of all the wind instruments. The program I have prepared for you today contains several different styles of music for the saxophone, and I hope there is something for everyone in the audience. The first piece on today's program was composed by French composer Paul Maurice, who taught at the Paris Conservatory for several years. She composed this suite for the famous French saxophonist Marcel Moore, who is also teaching at the conservatory. It is a suite with beautiful melodies and intricate rhythms that portray five different regions in southern France. The first movement is a girl's dance modeled after the farandole, a popular folk dance in Provence. The second movement is Song for My Love, not really an affirmative statement of love, but questioning, will she love me? The opening notes are the open strings of the guitar. The gypsy girl in the third movement is beautiful with a fiery, almost snarling side of her personality. The Sighing Souls of Alençon conveys a tree-lined dirt path bordered with Gallo-Roman tombs. The opening notes of the saxophone are a mournful sigh, like the wind blowing through the trees. Written just after the death of a friend, it is the first movement to be composed for this suite and is seminal for the entire suite. Le Cabernet is the large bee of the southern region of France. Listen at the end when the bee finally flies quickly away. Tableau de Provence. Thank you. So ordinarily, in a recital, we would have a chance to go off stage and catch our breath and mess around with the reed and the mouthpiece and all that stuff. Well, we don't really have time to do that, so I just have to do it right here in front of you. Sorry. So I have been playing the alto saxophone, and I brought along the soprano saxophone as well. And the soprano saxophone, they do make curved ones that are very cute. They're a little tiny, you know. But that kind of changed the sound of the saxophone a little bit to have all those curves in it. So they started making them straight, and it really has a more even sound and projects a little bit better. Some people think it projects too much better. So I hope that's not the case today, but it could be. Soprano is very high in pitch, and it's difficult to play, but it's a lot of fun as well. The most recent piece on today's program, And Everything Is Still, was composed by saxophonist Andy Scott, who gives these words at the beginning of the piece: gentle and spacious with poise. So I hope I can do it with poise. And everything is still. certainly one of the most prolific and popular Argentinian composers was Astor Piazzolla. These are two of his six tango etudes written originally for the flute. They are difficult rhythmically and technically, with beautiful melodic sections and several moments for artistic interpretation and nuance. I will be playing only the first two of the three listed, but in reverse order, number four followed by number three.
Thank you.
It's always such a pleasure working with Ellen. She's just a terrific musician, and she accompanies everybody, and she can play anything, you know? I mean, she's just absolutely remarkable. So it's a pleasure to be on the same stage as Ellen Summer. Okay, it's time to swab out again, sorry. I think all saxophone players just mess with stuff a lot, all the time. Reeds, ligatures, saxophones, you know, whatever, straps, you know. Anyway, composed by Australian composer Percy Aldrich Grainger, Irish tune from County Derry is one of the most beautiful melodies, and you will recognize it as the song Danny Boy. Grainger was not only a fan of British folk music, but was also a huge fan of the saxophone. In many of his wind band arrangements and compositions, he included as many as 6 different saxophones, from the soprano all the way down to the bass. Percy moved to the United States in 1914 and taught at a few different universities. He was a conductor at the University of Kansas Midwestern Music Camp for a few years in the 1960s. At that time, he brought this piece, arranged for wind band, and it became the closing song for every music camp since then. This is Irish tune from County Derry. Thank you. I have one more piece to play for you. And I thought, probably I have not played enough notes. So I wanted to play something that had quite a few more. Saxophonists just do that, you know? I don't know what it is. We're all addicted to playing a lot of notes all the time. So anyway, to close my recital, I have chosen a version of The Carnival of Venice by Jules Demersman, who is one of the earliest composers of saxophone music in France. This particular one is arranged by American saxophonist Fred Hemke, who was the saxophone teacher at Northwestern University for many, many years, and he just passed away recently. So this is Carnival of Venice. Okay.
Saxophone recital here in the Polsky Theater at Johnson County Community College, ending with the showpiece, Introduction and Variation on the Carnival of Venice, playing the alto saxophone, and there for a little bit the soprano sax. It was Professor Emeritus of Saxophone at KU, Vince Ganoyak, with pianist Ellen Summer, who is head of the Collaborative Piano Department at the KU School of Music. Thanks for joining us for this Doreen Morande professional recital here in the Midwest Trust Center. JCCC offers a series of these free concerts on most Mondays at noon during the spring and fall semesters. Chuck Smith, one of KPR's recording engineers, recorded the show for Classics Live, which is our weekly show that brings the best in live and local concerts to you. I'm Cordelia Brown, your Classics Live producer. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. a KPR recording made in the summer of 2025, featuring the strings of the Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Orchestra, with special guest conductor Joanne Falletta. That was Gustav Holst's St. Paul's Suite. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the Lawrence Civic Choir, presenting a festival of joy, featuring a variety of choral classics, Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 p.m., at First United Methodist. More at Lawrence Civic Choir's Facebook page. Public radio listeners are engaged, curious, and community-minded. Your business can unleash the potential of our listeners by sponsoring Kansas Public Radio. Learn how at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. You can listen to us through KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and of course through KansasPublicRadio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump has signed an executive order to override state laws regulating artificial intelligence. As NPR's Bobby Allen reports, the tech industry has lobbied for the move.
The order instructs the Justice Department to challenge state AI laws it views as burdensome. States this year have passed more than 100 laws attempting to regulate AI, while Congress hasn't passed any. Trump says a patchwork of state laws could give China an edge in the AI race.
Every time you make a change, and it could be a very reasonable change, you still won't get it approved if you have to go to 50 states. So this centralizes it.
But trying to override state AI laws has been met with opposition from both parties and prominent members of the MAGA movement. White House AI and crypto czar David Sacks helped advance the order. Sacks is a longtime venture capitalist with deep connections to Silicon Valley. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Indiana state senators voted down a Republican-friendly congressional map today, though lawmakers in Texas, Missouri, and North Carolina have answered President Trump's call to boost Republicans' chances of keeping control of the U.S. House next year. WFYI's Ben Thorpe says Indiana is the first GOP-led state to vote against the effort.
There were protesters against redistricting that you could hear from inside the Senate chamber today, and looming over everything was this pressure from the Trump administration. Here's one of the Republicans who opposed the new voting map, State Senator Spencer Deary.
As long as I have breath, I will use my voice to resist a federal government that attempts to bully, direct, and control this state or any state. Giving the federal government more power is not conservative.
Opponents also noted that states usually redistrict early in the decade after the census comes in. Republicans just passed the current map in 2021.
WFYI's Ben Thorpe. Kilmar Abrego-Garcia has been released from immigration custody. It's the latest development in the case of the man who was deported by mistake. NPR's Jimena Bastillo has more.
Lawyers for Abrego-Garcia confirmed to NPR he was released this afternoon from the custody of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This comes after a federal judge ordered his release earlier in the day. The White House has said that it will appeal the order, but didn't do so in time to block the release. Abrego-Garcia has become one of the symbols of the Trump administration's immigration crackdown this year. He was deported to El Salvador in March, contrary to a judge's order, and he spent several months in a notorious prison. The administration later brought Abrego-Garcia back and charged him with human smuggling. In her latest filing, Judge Palazzini's argues that Abrego-Garcia has no pending removal order to justify his continued detention. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump's tariff policies have cost the average American household nearly $1,200 this year. That's according to calculations by Democrats on Congress's Joint Economic Committee. They used Treasury Department numbers on revenue from tariffs and Goldman Sachs estimates of who ends up paying for them. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Imaginable Futures, funding programs in the U.S. with the goal of ensuring young children and their parents get the education they need to thrive. Learn more at imaginablefutures.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate December 11th. The Sun isn't easy to influence. It's more than 1,000 times the mass of Jupiter, the solar system's largest planet, and more than 330,000 times the mass of Earth. Even so, a recent study says the planets might influence our star's magnetic cycle. perhaps making conditions more comfortable for life. The sun goes through many cycles of magnetic activity. The best known last an average of 11 years. At the cycle's peak, the sun is much more active than average. It pelts Earth and the other planets with higher levels of radiation and charged particles. That can wreak havoc with everything from satellites to blood pressure. Another cycle lasts an average of less than 2 years. It produces many peaks and valleys in the 11-year cycle, and it lines up well with the longer cycle. In the recent study, researchers from Germany compared these cycles to the orbits of the planets. They found that the peaks and valleys of the shorter cycle correspond to some planetary alignments. One was a lineup of Earth, Jupiter, and Venus. The other was an alignment of Jupiter and Saturn. The researchers said the planets may help control the solar cycles. The planets might even tamp down the sun's activity, which is weaker than that of many sun-like stars. Less activity means that Earth gets bombarded by less of the nasty stuff, making our planet a much more comfortable home for life. Tomorrow, Cosmic Shrapnel. You can follow us on social media and through our website, stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Fantasia on Greensleeves, here on Kansas Public Radio, Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic. Hi there, I'm Destiny, your evening classical host, and this is my last evening show. I know, my last Tango Thursday. But never fear, as I say, dear listeners, I have such exciting news. I'm moving to the mornings next week, and I'm really excited for that, and I'm super happy for Cordelia, who is retiring. Much deserved. She has had a great career. Well, I know, big shoes to follow. She will pass the baton off to me on Monday mid-show, and then we're off to the races. So I thought a fitting tango tonight as a farewell tango would be the very first one I ever played for you. That'll be in about 45 minutes. First, though, I am a violinist, and my favorite violin concerto is Beethoven's Violin Concerto. And while I know who this violinist is, I've actually never heard his version of the Beethoven. So we're going to listen to it together. It'll be new for both of us. Maybe you've heard it, though. It's Elmar Oliveira playing with the Asturias Symphony Orchestra and Valdez conducting. Right now on KPR, Beethoven Violin Concerto.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
the one and only Beethoven Violin Concerto, here on KPR 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia. Wow. All right. I need to go home and practice after that. Jeez Louise. Elmar Oliveira was the violinist. Valdez was conducting the Asturias Symphony Orchestra. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, a vinyl record and CD store sponsoring the Vinyl Vault Hour on Jazz in the Night. Store details and buying policy at lovegardensounds.com. And KPR's Big Band Christmas is a holiday gift to the community with music by the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. Saturday night at Liberty Hall in Lawrence, if you love a party, Big Band Christmas is for you. Tickets are on sale at the Liberty Hall box office and Ticketmaster. Big Band Christmas made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. All right, folks, it's my last tango for Tango Thursday. Well, I suppose I can always play Tango Thursday mornings. There's never a bad time for tango. Did I mention I'm moving to the morning show? Very excited. We are going to miss Cordelia so much, though, but she deserves to retire. She has had a very long and wonderful career. All right. Piazzolla's Liber Tango, the first one I ever played many moons ago. This features Yo-Yo Ma on cello, now on KPR. Well, folks, it's been a pleasure being here with you on KPR. Piazzolla's Liber Tango with Yo-Yo Ma for our final Tango Thursday. But never fear, I'm moving to the mornings. And thank you all of you, dearest listeners. I really, really appreciate you and have so enjoyed our connection. And I hope you'll follow me to the mornings beginning next week.
Cordelia will hand off the baton Monday morning. Don't miss it. I'll see you soon here on Kansas Public Radio.
It's Michelle Martin. Every weekday morning, my Morning Edition co-host and I have some questions.
What do you say to that concern from voters that there needs to
be... Can this squarely be laid on the feet of the government shutdown, or are there deeper problems?
Do you agree it's important for government officials to be truthful before Congress?
Get information, context, accountability on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump was dealt a major blow today when the Republican-dominated state Senate in Indiana voted down a plan to redraw congressional district lines to get Republicans more seats. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, Trump has been demanding that Republican states do mid-decade redistricting.
Trump has said he is worried about what would happen if Democrats win control of the House of Representatives in next year's midterms. So he's been trying to get GOP-run states to tilt the playing field in his party's favor. Trump had intensely lobbied Indiana lawmakers, promising to campaign against them if they didn't support the gerrymandered maps. Groups backing Trump rallied in Indianapolis, but it didn't work, and now Trump is distancing himself.
I wasn't working on it very hard. Would have been nice. I think we would have picked up two seats if we did that.
And then Trump repeated his threats to primary state lawmakers who voted against the plan. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem told Congress today that the seizure of an oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela was a critical U.S. exercise meant to shut down drug trafficking.
It was a successful operation directed by the president to ensure that we're pushing back on a regime that is systematically covering and flooding our country with deadly drugs and killing our next generation of Americans.
Venezuela's government has called the seizure an act of international piracy. The Department of Justice has failed to indict Letitia James for a second time. A grand jury in Alexandria, Virginia today rejected the case against the New York Attorney General. This comes 1 week after a grand jury in another part of Virginia declined to bring charges. James has pleaded not guilty to mortgage fraud charges. The Justice Department case was dismissed after a judge found the prosecutor bringing the case had no authority in the matter. Cold wind and rain are lashing tents and soaking displaced families across Gaza as sewage floods the streets. NPR's Aya Batraoui reports on a severe winter storm making landfall.
UN aid groups say they're rushing to distribute more winter clothes to families. They say 850,000 people are in areas at risk of flooding and warn children are at risk of hypothermia and falling ill. NPR's Anas Baba visited a displaced camp soaked in rain in Gaza City. Families here say they only have one set of winter clothes and no way to dry them. Nahla Al-Majdoub says she can't even find a tent. Nahla says the plastic tarping she and her eight kids shelter under collapsed from the rain on their heads last night. Israel says aid is flowing into Gaza with trucks carrying winter blankets, tents, and plastic sheeting. But the Norwegian Refugee Council says Israel is impeding the entry of supplies. Aya Batraoui, NPR News Dubai, with reporting by Anas Baba in Gaza.
Wall Street rose to new record highs today. The S&P 500 edged up 0.2%, squeaking past its all-time closing high set in October. This is NPR. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is proposing changes to the Financial Stability Oversight Council and loosening regulations on the financial industry. The body was created after the 2008 financial crisis to prevent future economic meltdowns. Bessent says efforts to safeguard the financial system have resulted in burdensome regulations. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren says reducing regulations would create too much risk. The Trump administration has offered new support to foster youth and told states to stop taking some of the benefit checks that go to children. NPR's Joseph Shapiro explains.
When a parent dies, Social Security pays survivor benefits to dependent children. But for kids in foster care, it's common for states to cash those checks as reimbursement for foster care. Now, in a letter to governors, the Department of Health and Human Services says that practice is wrong, that the checks belong to the child. An NPR investigation in 2020 showed when a child leaves foster care, that money matters. It can pay for college, a car, or a place to live. Since then, 10 states have started passing the checks to foster youth. The HHS letter says all states should follow. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.
Regulators are shutting down New England's shrimping industry for another 3 years. New Englanders used to catch millions of pounds of shrimp, but the industry has been under a moratorium since 2014. Rising temperatures have created an inhospitable environment for the shrimp, and their population is too low to fish sustainably. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing extraordinarily creative individuals whose ideas, solutions, and discoveries expand people's expectations of what's possible. MacFound.org. Thank you.
pianist Horace Parlin opening tonight's Jazz in the Night here on Kansas Public Radio, our all vinyl hour we do these Thursday nights. And that was the LP Speakin' My Piece, Blue Note Records, by the Horace Parlin Quintet. Came out in 1916. A very nice reissue of this on Blue Note from 2023. That tune written by Horace for his daughter, Cynthia. It's called Up in Cynthia's Room. And the Turrentine Brothers on that one. Tommy on trumpet, Stanley on tenor sax, George Tucker on bass, and Al Harewood on drums. It's Horace Parlin on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Bob McWilliams. We're going to hear one of the great bebop pianists come out of Detroit in the 1950s, Barry Harris and his trio. We've got Ralph Moore after that, tenor saxophonist who grew up in London until age 15, then came to California, ended up at Berklee in Boston, and became one of the fine saxophonists on the scene for many years. We'll hear from one of his LPs from the late 80s. So we've got classic Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn music as well for you here on Jazz in the Night. Support for Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio comes from the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research at ku.edu. Pianist Barry Harris's trio, Premonado, the album, Riverside Records LP from 1961 with Joe Benjamin and Elvin Jones, bass and drums, and a Barry Harris original called One Down on KPR.